1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here to set our theme. Verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And we're going to focus on that little phrase there. Ye are bought with a price. Tomorrow, of course, is Memorial Day. I recently finished reading a book. I hate to admit it. I think I started it back in January, and I finally got around to finishing it. I'd lost it. We packed it away for a trip, and I finally found it again. I'm like, I need to finish reading that book. And it was a book about worship and church services and things like that. And one of the things the author said that I was thinking about, overall didn't like the book, but one of the things he said that got me to thinking was he was talking about church services and sometimes when we get together and we focus on things that aren't necessarily church related. And he said, we're bad about that sometimes with holidays that go on. And he talked in the book, he gave the example as he went to one church service and turned out they were honoring the Boy Scouts this particular Sunday. This book was written back in the 80s. And he said it was odd. He said, I came to worship Christ, but they were honoring the Boy Scouts. And he said the next week he was speaking somewhere else. And in Sunday school, he told that about that experience. Everybody started laughing. They said, we're honoring the Girl Scouts today. So sometimes things like that happen. And while we gather, I do believe it is our duty to worship Christ above all. And we can get easily distracted from that. You know, I looked it up. I like all the goofy holidays and things like that that are out there. There's a day for everything. And I looked it up, and it was according to the website nationaltoday.com. I'd never heard of it. I'm sure it's trustworthy. Always remember the words of Abraham Lincoln. Never trust everything you read on the internet, okay? That's Abraham Lincoln's most famous quote. Today is, among other things, Geek Pride Day. Now, that one, me and Bill can appreciate, which also is Towel Day, if you're a fan of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's where that comes from. Over everybody's head on that one. It's International Skin Pigmentation Day. International Skin Pigmentation Day. As I say, there's something for everybody. It's National Bath Bomb Day. National Tap Dance Day. No, we're not going to do that. And it's World Thyroid Day. And I looked up, there was a bunch of other ones, but those are the things we could be celebrating those. We're not. I'm not sure why some of those exist. But I have to say, of all the things in our culture, society, our nation, if there is a holiday worth acknowledging as an American, and I would say even as a Christian, it is Memorial Day. The saying goes that freedom is not free. We pause, banks close, businesses close, and we enjoy a day of freedom because brave men, women gave their lives for our freedom. And I think we do lose sight of that sometimes. We've been given this gift, but it was not just handed to us. It was bought with a tremendous price. I heard my dad in Sunday school rattling off some numbers he had looked up, and I'm not going to go that detailed, but since the Revolutionary War, I saw this number online. You can believe it because it was online. But it said 646,596 of our troops, our sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters, have paid the ultimate price for freedom, dying in combat. An additional 539,000 estimated have died from non-combat injuries or perhaps from wounds, but they died later on, complications from their service. That is a great price. That is a tremendous price. and it is worth honoring. But again, we're not here to worship America. We're not here to worship our forefathers. I thought there was a different page I missed. It printed on the back of it. I was going to talk a little bit more about that price. Let me backtrack a little bit. Another website I looked at, wallethub.com, said 95% of companies are closed tomorrow for Memorial Day. 58% of Americans plan on attending a barbecue this weekend. 818 hot dogs are consumed every second. They said 7 billion hot dogs will be eaten this weekend. $2 billion worth of meat will be purchased this weekend. 45 million Americans will travel. But again, it's not just a day to have a party. It's not just a day to pig out, go shopping, these deals and sales. And like I say, I do think it is fitting in many ways for us to remember that price by celebrating the freedom that we have. I do not think that that dishonors the fallen soldiers at all, because we are living the life they purchased with their own blood. I think those that gave their last full measure of devotion would appreciate that we can have such liberty, freedom, and prosperity. All in all, it is a day, Memorial Day, to remember the price paid for our freedom, our nation, and I do thank God for the blessing of America. And I'm going to tell you, we're really bad sometimes about, we feel like we have to put a qualifier on that. We say, well, I thank God for America, despite, or was it Johnny Cash for its rough shape, for the shape she's in, talking about the ragged old flag. We like to say it's, well, in spite of, I'm going to take all that out. I think America is a gift from God. I think it's a blessing. And if you are an American, if you enjoy the freedoms, you are blessed. You are blessed. And again, I'm not here to worship America, but I think it is fitting to give thanks to God, because without God, we would not have this nation. By the way, I'm convinced if you study out American history, especially you go read about that Revolutionary War period, you read about our founding fathers and the events that led up to it, the Great Awakening, what happens in the lives of men like George Washington, God's hand was very evident in the founding and the creation of our nation. And I think you read through history, it's been there guiding us and protecting us all throughout. You know, most of our founders respected God and his truth. They wanted a nation where we could worship him freely according to our conscience. It was just between us and our God. No state church. That's a great innovation in history. You go over to Europe and, well, we're a Catholic country. We're a Protestant country. America's not Catholic. It's not Anglican. It's not Protestant. But we were founded as a nation of Christians. I think our very government is designed, if you take out the Christian religion, the Christian culture, the Christian teachings, there's no way our country can operate. We are founded to be a nation of Christians, rooted in Christian truth, and designed for a society that honors God. We've gotten away from that, sadly. We need to get back to it. But that's not just to save America. That's not just to get political people in office that agree with you. I'm telling you, the battle for the soul of America is the battle for the souls of men. And by the way, what's more important? The souls of men. We don't worship America this morning. We don't worship our forefathers. We are here to worship our great God. We're here to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of all praise and all honor. He deserves all of it because who he is. God doesn't have to do anything to deserve our praise. He is worthy for just being. He's worthy just because of his divine attributes, because he's holy, because he's omnipresent, because he's omnipotent, because he's all those great theological terms. Just because he is great, he doesn't have to bless you to be worthy of praise. He deserves it. He is God Almighty. Christ is the Word made flesh. We talked about that a couple Wednesdays ago. He is truth incarnate. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the Rock of Ages. He's the Balm of Gilead. He is the hope of the ages. He's the hope for our soul. He is our Savior. You know, America can make you free, but only Christ can set you free from your sins. Today we worship Him. We honor Him, not only meeting here, having a church service as lovers of Christ, as followers of Christ, gathering together. It's not just the fact that we gather today. It's not just the fact that we have songs. I know we're patriotic, but those were songs that were thanking God for the miracle that we have in our nation. It's not just hearing a good song reminding us the hill called Mount Calvary. It's not just about lifting up the prayer. We've done all these things here today. We do them every week. Today's a little bit special. We're observing the Lord's Supper. We recall the broken body, the shed blood of Christ. We recall the great price that he paid for our salvation. I think it's amazing. God didn't give us something you have to have a lot of gold or silver. He said, didn't say, go build you a big gold statue. We couldn't afford gold. We're poor. God didn't say, go out and pay this great price. I love how simple the elements of the Lord's Supper are. The fruit of the vine, grape juice, wine, if you will. But the bread, these are things that are common. These things are throughout the world. These are things that are... But in that simplicity, there is such a depth of meaning. The blood that was shed for us, the body that was broken for us. And I think personally, there's no greater description. And we could read the gospel accounts of the agony of the cross. We could read Paul and the book of Romans and talk about theologically what happened at the cross in the empty tomb. To me, though, the greatest description of why Christ came to earth, what he did, what he accomplished, was written hundreds of years before Christ was born, hundreds of years before the cross. I think they were penned by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter number 53. And I want to read that chapter to you this morning, because I believe there is no greater description of what Christ did than what Isaiah wrote. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the Lord, arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. I love that phrase. The great God of the universe humbled himself to walk among us. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He didn't just come and suffer to be an example. He didn't come to just suffer so we would know how bad sin is. He did it for our salvation, to redeem us from our sins. Verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land, or cut off out. Let me get that right. He was cut off out of the land of the living. He died. The great God of the universe who created life gave his life for us. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. That's exactly what happened. 100 years later, he nailed it. Where was Christ buried? He borrowed Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, borrowed his tomb. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was the perfect, holy. You know, I might love you enough to give myself for you. I've always said there's things I think you ought to be willing to give your life for. I think for your faith, for your family, for your country, you ought to be willing to lay down your life for those things. But I can't lay down my life for my kids, my wife. If I loved y'all enough to do it for you, I don't know, some of you maybe. But if I did, my sacrifice isn't sufficient. Why? Because I got my own sins to worry about. God would look at it and say, hey, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. That's not pure, that's not holy. There was only one way a holy sacrifice could be made, and that was because of Jesus Christ. He is that perfect holy sacrifice. No, done no violence, no deceit. He was not subject to the penalty of sin. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. By the way, bruise him, isn't that what back in Genesis chapter 3, the great prophecy there, said he'll bruise. It's a conquering blow. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, God the Father, shall see his, the Son of God, Christ's seed, sees the results. He sees those who will come to faith. He shall prolong, God the Father shall prolong his, Christ's days. That's the resurrection. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see, God the Father shall see the travail of his, Christ's soul. And I think some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture, and shall be satisfied. God says, that's the payment. That's what I need. It's not our good deeds. It's nothing we could do. We could never offer something that would satisfy the righteous demands of the law. Only God could. Only God could be that lamb himself. And Christ offered himself up for us. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge, Christ's knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquity. We find righteousness through him. We find justification through him. Verse 12, therefore will I, God the Father, divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Listen, we look forward to that great day when Christ will return. We look forward to a day when all the wrongs will be made right. We look forward to the day when Christ shall reign. We look forward to a day where there will be no more sin, a little bit further on, up in heaven, when all this world's passed away and there's the new heaven, the new earth, and everything is pure and just and holy. But we can't have any of that. We can't have that eternity future. We can't have Christ's kingdom on earth. We can't have these things unless Christ came and suffered for us. We can't have the hope of salvation. We can't have the hope of sin being eradicated and vanquished, except that Christ came and died for us. Friends, the words of our text, ye are bought with a price. You know, you need to realize that to find salvation. You can't just, okay, I'm saved. No, to understand the salvation, need to understand that we are sinners, and to understand that there is a price that has to be paid for that sin. You can pay your own way, but that's not going to work. Any of our righteousness is not acceptable. If somebody had come up here yesterday at the rummage sale and tried to pay me with buttons instead of money, I'd be like, what are you doing? That? I'm not taking that. I want real money, currency, jewels, gold. But when we try to pay for our sins with God and say, well, look, God, here, I went to church. God, look, I tried to clean up my life. God says, I can't accept that. That's not pure enough. That's not holy enough. You need to understand that Christ died for us. We as sinners, there's a price we couldn't pay, but Christ paid it for us. He came. He lived on this earth. He suffered. He died. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. Not just because he was bored, but he did it because he loved us, to redeem us unto himself. That's why Christ came. And that since he came, and we know that great price that was paid, we put our faith in him, not in us again, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8-9. It's nothing about us. We put our faith fully, and not a faith in, well, I said a prayer, or I grew up in church, or I did this. And it's nothing about me. Everything is about him. Everything is about what he did. It's not 90% what he did and 10% me. So, well, my faith, no, your faith don't save you. Christ saves you. You can have faith in the wrong things. You have to put your faith in the right thing, that Christ died for your sins. That through faith, we can find that salvation. Through faith in him, completely in what he did, we can find forgiveness. We can find salvation. You have to know about that price to find salvation. But believer this morning, Christians, once you know Christ as Savior, you don't need to forget that you are bought with a price. You need to remind yourself weekly. I think that's why important in the cycle of our week to be in church. It's a reminder. As we gather in, you walk in the door, there's a cross back here, you see. We'll sing the songs that will remind us, are you washed in the blood? We'll sing songs like Gloria was singing, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. We remind ourselves we are bought with a price. We are not our own. We are his now. That great price that was paid. We remind ourselves weekly. We need to remind ourselves daily. Spend some time with him in devotion, Bible reading, prayer. Listen to some good gospel music. Listen to some preaching on the radio, a podcast, do something. We need to remind ourselves daily of what he did for us. And I would say if it was possible, and I know it's hard because we all have ADD to some level, but we need to remind ourselves every hour, every minute, every second, every heartbeat. We ought to remember Christ died for me. You're bought with a price. I take that a step further too. We ought to be thinking the same thing. He didn't just die for me. He died for that person next to me. He died for that person. He died for that person I want to yell at because they cut me off in traffic. He died for my child. He died for that little kid that, God bless their little heart, they're so much fun to deal with. He died for them. The native over in Africa, he died for them. The poor little Chinese kid, not enough to eat, God died for them. The person across the street, he died for them. The drunk that causes a ruckus down the road, Christ died for them. We need to remind ourselves, there was a price that was paid. We are bought with a price. A price that could only be paid by the holy God. Nobody else was worthy. No one else was strong enough. No one else was holy enough to pick up that tab that we created with our sins. You know, I like the, somebody was telling me about they were going through the drive-thru somewhere, and sometimes, hey, I'll pay for the person next to me, and people don't do that as much anymore. Economy's rough, but somebody was telling me, I think it was my dad, so he went through and somebody had paid for his. And he said, oh, okay, well, I'll keep it going. What's the next person? Are you sure you want to do that? I'm like, yeah, we'll keep it going. Well, theirs is $40. Well, I committed now. I got to do it. Listen, you can get yourself in some situations where it's like, boy, that's a price I'm not willing to pay. That's just a little bit too much. Somebody is on their own. I'm not gonna worry about it. I got to tell you, Christ saw the price we couldn't pay, and he paid it willingly. Out of his great love, he paid it. The infinite and holy God came to us. He gave himself for us. Never forget the agony that Christ suffered. I know we're celebrating Memorial Day tomorrow, and I know it's a lot of fun. I know there's great things, but we remember and we honor a price that was paid for our nation, for our freedom. Here today, in this time, as we observe the Lord's Supper, I'm asking you, remember the great price that we are paid. We are bought with a price. Never forget the weight of our sins. Never forget that precious blood that was shed for us. Never forget the agony, not just the physical, but the spiritual agony as all our sins were placed upon him. Never forget the price that was paid, because we are truly, truly bought with a price.